Today on the show, this is historic. Fran, aka Fran Nerd, is back for round two. Friends, oh my goodness, I'm so stoked out of my mind to bring you this conversation. There are very few illustrators that inspire me as much as my friend Fran. Whenever we chat, I leave feeling super comforted, and honestly, I feel like when you need motivation and pep, you might go to a creative pep talk, but when you need just someone to make you feel whole and worthy and seen, you go to Fran. Fran has a YouTube page that is wildly subscribed to, and it doesn't surprise me whatsoever because when I put one of these videos on, I'm just instantly mellowed out and I'm laughing and I'm excited to be making stuff again. And if that weren't enough, Fran's comics and illustrations on Instagram are so freaking good. Like, these illustrations are gorgeous, but the writing is on another level. Super funny, insightful looks into everyday life, and they just completely enrich my scrolling on a weekly basis. I'm very inspired by an illustrator that writes on such a high level. It's something I aspire to do as well. So, yeah. I was in New York City last week and decided to catch up with my friend Fran, and I know this chat is going to brighten up your week. Fran and I have a very similar heart for our audiences, but I think we come at it from slightly different angles, and I think this is going to be a breath of fresh air. Quick note, there is some swearing in this episode if there are some ears of babes about, and trigger warning, Fran very graciously shares in intimate detail her struggles with a physically abusive father growing up. And I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Okay, without any further ado, here she is, my friend, Franard. I really needed to rehaul my website. I was talking to some web people, looking around, and I got intrigued by Squarespace's new Fluid Engine, partially because it just sounds cool, but also because it allows you to drag and resize and layer up anything you can imagine. I dove in, rebuilt my site. It's the most me site that I've ever had. I just absolutely love it. Launched it. Got such a great response. Some industry illustration and designy peers even reached out and was like, hey, who coded this thing, man? I'm like, y'all, I did it by myself. No coding with Squarespace's new Fluid Engine. I told him, like, you should go check it out. You're going to be surprised with what you can do. And I built this thing before Squarespace reached out to sponsor the show. So I was like, boom, easy peasy. I was going to tell you about this new site anyway. Go check it out, AndyJPizza.com, if you want to see what I did with it. If you want to try it yourself, make a site that's totally you, where you can build a portfolio, sell content and courses and all kinds of other stuff, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with promo code PEPTALK, all one word, all uppercase. This episode is supported by In the Making, an original podcast brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one content creation app included in your Creative Cloud membership. If you are trying to boost the YouTube, TikTok, Reels content side of what you're doing, one episode of In the Making that I think will be super useful to you is their episode with John Yushai. I think John's method for including his audience in the process is really inspiring. And if you want to hear about that and more about leveling up your game in the creator economy, just search In the Making in your podcast player to listen. Many thanks to In the Making and Adobe Express for their support. Okay, so we've already been talking for a long time.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But I was there when we were talking.
But they weren't. That's the point. No, they didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I do have a few things that I just wanted to pick your brain
address.
On that I'm curious about.
Mm-hmm.
The first one.
Wait, can I say hello?
Yeah, sorry.
Hi, everybody.
No, we don't say hi in this show. You can't say hi to everybody.
Address the audience. Ooh. What is that called? The fourth wall?
Yeah, don't break the fourth wall.
But I have to.
Okay, that's fine. Oh, you have to. You say what your thing is.
Hi guys.
Hi guys. Yeah.
How are you? Andy and I are just like sitting down. We're in my studio right now. It's a very nice day, but it's getting hotter.
Yeah.
Didn't you find that?
Yes.
Can we talk about the weather for a second?
Yeah, it gets sweaty.
So it's cooler in the evening and during the morning, but then it gets insanely hot. So if I have like a sweaty mustache, I'm so sorry, Andy.
I don't think you do, and I wouldn't have noticed that. But, how does that compare to past
weather situations?
Yeah.
So before New York, I was living in Hastings, the UK, and then London. And basically, we didn't have any summer. I know now it's different because of the amazing climate change situation that we're going through.
They fixed that.
In 10 more years, right, Andy? Yeah, we're all going to be dead. But in Hastings, I think we had summer for like 2 weeks. Whoa. And the whole rest of the, quote, summer, it was just like a sweater situation.
You don't always even have a summer in England.
No, that's it was thing. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very happy with the summer situation that we had in New York. It got crazy for a couple of weeks, I think a couple of months ago. But it's nice. Sorry about the mess, by the way.
No.
I already apologized, but yeah. I need to make obvious, since now there's thousands of people in my studio right now.
They can't see you, though. So.
Yeah, but it's we have to acknowledge the chaos.
It's a little bit messy, I would say.
Cute messy?
Mine is usually
crazy
messier, but not by a lot. But I'm my problem is I'm usually running from one thing to the next, so
yeah.
There's usually paint everywhere, and then
I love all that
kind of stuff.
Don't you find fascinating when you see pictures of other people's desks and stuff like that, especially artists? You're like,
yeah,
please show me more.
I
want to see your pencil drawer, and you're like, no, it's so messy, but no, you love it.
I do love that, and I actually feel like I feel kind of annoyed that I came up through the design side, which I know you did too, in a way at least, and that they're such a different animal to artists or illustrators.
Yeah.
And that, you know, all of my design friends, their studios are just pristine.
Mm.
And I always feel just like a mess of a person, mess of my, everything's messy. And I, you know what I mean? So I do feel like I don't mind it, but then my designer friends come in and I think they're like, You're making me uncomfortable with how messy everything is.
Is this where you work?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but I like it. It's good
Thank
energy
you.
To me. Okay, you were talking about... Oh, I was going to ask you about Hastings.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where... I know it's in England, but I don't know
it's like
where...
the southeast, I guess. South... southeast coast of England. I forgot. The UK. So we were living in London for a year, and we realized we were in... God, London is amazing, but it's so damn expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of realized that we weren't going to the town. We weren't, like, going downtown.
You weren't using London for...
No, at all. We were barely going out from our area, so we were, like, we might as well just, like, move to a cheaper city. And I always wanted to live by the sea, and we literally took Google Maps out.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, okay, cities in the coast.
Uh-huh.
And we started by Brighton, but Brighton is also super expensive.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, look, there's a quaint small town by the sea called Hastings. And we took the train, I think, the day after that, and we fell in love with it. When we had no idea... about the artist community in Hastings, and everybody was like, oh, you moved because of the artist community, and we were like, what artist community? And yeah, so that's
why. What kind of art? Like, what kind?
Lots of illustrators, actually.
What?
Yeah, and musicians, writers. The cool thing about Hastings, I feel like I'm selling you Hastings.
I think I'm going to pack my bags.
Have you ever considered buying a place in Hastings?
Do you have like a timeshare there?
I have collections. Yeah, I have connections. The cool thing is that it's just an hour and a half away from London. So if you wanted to like go to meetings or museums or anything else, you basically took the train in the morning and then come back.
Yeah.
A lot of people actually commute. I think like commuting is a religion in the UK because there's so many people doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Either from Brighton to London or from outside London to inside London. That's on here. again, language. Yeah. So I think it was a really, really nice decision because Hastings was sort of like a cocoon in the sense that it gave us the space to rent a place cheaper than usual. And just like, it was like a creative hut, you know, where you want to just like go to the woods and distance yourself from everything and just work on your stuff.
Yep.
That was Hastings for us.
Yeah.
Just like not worry about the bills and just like have the space and freedom to do whatever you want.
Yep.
That was Hastings for us.
Okay. Yeah. How long were you there?
2 years.
Okay.
I still miss it a lot.
Really?
Yeah, everybody's like, I bet you don't miss Hastings anymore because you live in New York City. Yeah. And it's like, no, I still miss Hastings like crazy. Also, I'm so sorry for the noise.
Oh, don't.
It's Brooklyn.
The
so I'm sorry, guys.
It's so, yeah, it's so legit. We're in Brooklyn. We're not in Brooklyn. We're like in a basement in Milwaukee and we're just playing street sounds of Brooklyn in the background.
Can you imagine?
That would be amazing.
I mean, I thought Andy was weird, but this is insane. Okay.
I was going to ask you about, Hastings, England. I was going to ask you about London versus here, though, which is more expensive.
Oh, man. I guess it depends. I think rent-wise, New York is more expensive. But in cost of living, I think London is more expensive because here you can still get super cheap food and services.
Yeah.
But in London, it's really, really hard to get, or is the other way around? Yeah, it's harder to get like quality food that it's not, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you're saying like your rent is higher here.
Rent is higher here.
Yeah.
Or at least... Because in London, we were living near the area, the Tooting Broadway area. So it's like by the end of the Northern Line, just like across the river.
Yeah.
And so the area, basically like any other city, the closer you are to downtown is more expensive.
Sure.
So even though we weren't closer, it was still insanely expensive. Mm. But I guess by the area, we still, like our flat had lots of rats.
Yeah.
And as a vegan, it was kind of like a like a ethical struggle. Okay, like so what we should do right now. And Ed he was very gentle with the rats. But we also had like rat poop everywhere. Is this too TMI?
No.
I don't care.
No.
Okay, yeah, it's fine.
This is amazing. So funny.
It's the same with flies right now. Uh-huh. Since it's super hot and there's trash everywhere, we have like an infestation of flies in our flat. And it's like, I love animals, but I hate these bastards.
Yeah.
I want to just kill them all, but is this too weird to say?
No. Do you know how weird I am? Everybody knows. I've said way weirder,
stranger.
You're not
that weird, Andy.
You don't think so?
I mean, I guess for the medium, I guess for most people, we are both super weird, but for me, you're not weird.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well,
I've done...
weird.
Yeah.
public weirdness. Yeah.
Public display of weirdness.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of it, actually. Yeah.
But no, like in terms of like London and New York, I think I love New York the most because London to me seemed too polished, like put togethery.
Okay.
Yeah. So people were super formal all the time. I guess that's the way how British.
It's a more British thing.
Yeah. And I love British humor, and I still miss England so much, but I think I don't know if it's the vibe of New York that there's more people from everywhere in the world living here in New York, and there's this kind of like DIY punk situation, punk in the sense that everybody's trying to figure it out and what to do, and like there's more artists, and I guess... You could still be an artist and be freelancing and living in New York City, but in London, it was so hard to be an artist and living in London at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is because due to the culture or just like the living situation, but I found it here that it's much more easier to get to know people. And I don't know, I guess you bond over how difficult it is to thrive in both cities. That,
sure.
I guess one of a friend of mine, and she's been living here in New York City for so long, like 10 years. She was just like, please like pay attention to how many people are crying on the subway. And I had my fair share of tears on the subway because of how hard it is to be, like, sometimes life gets to you.
Yeah.
And she was just like, when you see someone cry on the subway, you know that person because you have been in that situation too.
Uh-huh.
And just you understand why they're crying. And I guess that's, we're all, I've said this before to Ed, but I feel like in New York City, everybody's just like, it feels like a university campus in the sense that everybody's knowing each other. Everybody's doing like funny remarks on the subway or like talking to you, and they don't want your phone number or to be friends. They just are very social. Everybody's just like laughing with each other and then like, oh, it's my stop by. And I love that like camaraderie, I guess is the word, like the community of people living here.
If Ed hadn't gone to school here, would you have gone anyway?
Yeah, eventually. Okay, yeah. Right. Because we wanted to find a city in which both we... The tricky thing about Hastings is that Ed wasn't working as a playwright. Ed is a playwright. And the theater community in Hastings is basically zero.
Uh-huh.
So I found that even though I was sort of like thriving with the shop and with illustration and all of those things that I have done.
Yeah.
The issue was that he wasn't working in Hastings. He was working, for example, for Mexico or other cities, but not there.
Yep.
So we're like, okay, we need to find a place where language is not an issue and where we can both thrive creatively together.
Yeah.
So New York was always in the top of our minds, but we were so scared to... I hate this saying, but like pull the trigger because everybody's always like, New York is amazing and you're super lucky if you get the chance to live here, but it's so hard and because so many people want to be here and so many people and the competitivity is insane. So we were like, okay, let's find a way in with this scholarship, at scholarship, but if not, eventually we'll love to live here.
Yeah.
It would have been trickier. Though,
right,
because the cool thing about Ed's situation and is that since he's doing a PhD and
there's
he's
an educator,
and he's in a fellowship, we also have the health insurance thing. And I guess you guys in the US and me as a Chilean, we both have the worst health insurance in the world.
Oh, it's same in Chile,
yeah, it's insane. Like, we're both, I guess, as Chileans and people from the US, we're if you get one like very lethal disease, you're basically going, it's game over.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, something that's on my mind all the time. And honestly, long term, even though I'm not smart enough to do this, or I don't have these kinds of skills, I do want to grow Creative Pep Talk into a thing in which we have impact on that. Because it's so important to me
in the decision making.
Yeah, in the resources.
Yeah.
So, I would love it to be. I'd love to invent something where there's a co-op of artists that can get group health care.
Oh my
rates.
God!
You know
it
what I mean?
Sounds like heaven. To
yeah.
Me.
What? Whatever success you have now, what do you think? Are you in touch with what it costs you as a person? I know that's a huge...
Wow.
I know it's a huge question. And I was hopefully going to save it for later because it's not a very positive question, but it's just one of those things where it's something that's on my mind a lot. Like, I'm thinking a lot about what I sacrifice in order to achieve or do my thing?
I guess that's a tricky question, not because I don't want to answer it, but because I have no idea how to answer it because I haven't asked myself that question ever.
Yeah.
So I think it cost me in the sense that everything, I like to share everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not everything, not when I'm fighting with Ed or...
Yeah.
I mean, we don't fight that often, but it's the difference between sharing what it's private and sharing what it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
I don't mind sharing what it's vulnerable. Very, very, very. The hardest word in the world.
Vulnerable?
Vulnerable.
But it's like one of your things, too.
I know, right?
Yeah, you better just stand in front of a mirror and just
say it a minute.
And just over and over.
When it loses its meaning...
Yeah,
ever.
Right.
So the tricky thing, I guess, is when you're sharing so much of what you do or like what you want to share, everything becomes very public. And it's like that double-edged sword in which when you're sharing what it hurts or what you're ashamed of or embarrassed or what it's hard and when you're crying or when your business is failing in some way or I don't know, it's people tend to be judgy as well.
Yeah.
And and that's what I mean when it's a double-edged sword, that sometimes as you open up to people, you're also letting people in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't filter who gets, like, who enters and who exits. Or, yeah. Like, you can't say, like, no you. So I guess for us, when people are saying, like, oh, but you... I guess that's like the most easiest advice to say, like, oh, but just don't care about what people right. think. Because in theory is exactly like that. Like, oh, sure. I don't care. I shouldn't care.
Just don't.
But I care.
Well, I mean, I've heard it. I've heard someone say, I don't know where this came from, but not caring about what people think is literally the definition of a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, you,
we
I don't
have
care
to
about,
care.
I don't care what anybody thinks. I'll kill whoever I want. Like, yeah. That's what, they yeah. don't care. Like, caring about what people think
mm.
is a human quality that has a lot of
we
benefits.
Have to, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
But there's problems with it, too.
Of course. Yeah. And as we share and as we are vulnerable and as we share what we do or what we feel, of course we have to care about what people think because so otherwise it will be like a one-way streak, like one-way street, I guess. That's
yeah,
the word.
Right.
So naturally, I care about what people feel and think and say about me. So I should be smarter in the sense that, oh, this is a constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Or this isn't. But it's harder for me because, of course, it affects me. So I guess the idea of sharing the mistakes and being open about people doing like, oh, Fran, you're so dumb, ha, 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 uh-huh. or like, oh, you're so weird. That is something that it's hard for me or for anyone to do, I guess. But I wouldn't change it for anything
yeah.
because I love this relationship that I have with what I share and how it affects people. And sometimes I feel, and I guess it also... I imagine that you feel exactly the same about not caring mm-hmm. or the anonymity of not having social media or, I don't know, I guess that's how sometimes
it costs
I feel.
You some level of privacy or protection or...
But I love to do it.
Yeah.
So it's
well,
weird.
Yeah. I mean, you're making... That's part of it is like, you know, that... Part of what the question is about is you're obviously making these choices to, you know, like, and so you're counting the cost. You're aware of what it's costing you, but it doesn't mean that it's not costing you. It doesn't mean that there aren't things though, on that side of the equation mm-hmm. that are real.
And the path that we both took, me with YouTube and Instagram, blah, blah, and you with podcasting mm-hmm. and your work you're doing besides or like alongside the podcast,
yeah.
sometimes I second guess myself and it is what we were talking before this episode.
Yeah.
But like, am I choosing, how am I spending my time wisely?
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing what I need to do? Because it's a very non-traditional way on how we're living art or like how we're using creativity.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I mean, nowadays, I think there's more artists doing podcasts and there's more artists doing YouTube as well as graphic novels and Instagram and stuff like that. But for a long time, since I'm doing this, like we're both not doing a very traditional way
no. yep.
of performing art. I feel like I am sometimes second guessing myself on that, or like I feel like I'm sacrificing time that I should be spending on working on landscapes because I hate and I'm so bad at drawing landscapes. And sometimes I see people, of course, like I compare myself to other artists who are like freaking Da Vinci's
uh-huh.
and like Cyril Pedrosa or other like super talented artists, and I'm like, oh my god, they have this whole entire body of work and they have such impressive portfolios. And I'm like, they don't have YouTube channels. They don't have podcasts. So they're spending each and every single minute they're awake. This is like in theory, obviously, working on landscapes. And I'm like here filming myself on my in my studio. So sometimes I feel like I'm sacrificing the traditional path that I should have been taking, I guess. So that's why this is how sometimes I feel like. And I'm sure you feel,
totally.
Fingers crossed, you're feeling the same.
Yeah, I do. I've been through massive seasons of that, although I'm not feeling as much like that now, which is kind of partially what I was telling you about at the coffee shop, which is funny because I'm going to actively, we might circle back to that, but I also like the idea of any, there might be one person listening to this saying, what was he saying? Like, but I'm just going to move on straight away. And maybe we'll come back to that.
While we're drinking. Coffee. But, the answer is always coffee.
Yes, coffee. Yeah. I think art is about taste in terms of replicating what art does for you and kind of doing it for other people, both just because you want to reciprocate and share it, but also because you want to put your spin on it. You want to be able to like the only way I can explain it is like when you eat a dish, you eat some food, if you're a chef, you're probably, the better you get, the less anybody's going to make food the way that you think it should be made to get the maximum advantage of your palate. So like if you're a filmmaker, probably eventually you're going to, almost no movies are doing what you feel like they should to get the maximum feeling that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to medium, whatever, I'm very medium agnostic now in that I don't care if it's a podcast, I don't care if it's a drawing, I don't care if it's public speaking, whatever, I don't care what it is. I know what I want my work to taste like and that I know what I want them to feel. I know I want them to feel, pretty much can be summarized, that really intense visceral feeling of saying, wanting to say yes to life.
Like, yeah.
Whenever you hear a story and you're like, all right, I know life is hard, but it's worth it. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm ready to like fight for it and be, and I love it. And I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I want to make work like that. And the reason I'm saying all this, I know I hate my questions take so long to say.
Say it.
But my question to you is, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or your books, what are, and I'm sure it's tied to vulnerability, but what are you wanting them to taste on an emotional level? What are you hoping for? Does that make sense as a question?
Yeah, it makes sense as a question, but okay. They're so
hard. You might have
hard.
Not thought about it.
No, before, I've never, I mean, I've thought about it in the sense that I think I'm stuck with vulnerability because I know how it makes me feel when I see it. And I know, and I think I already said it in the last podcast that we did together, but I feel like honesty is such a rare thing to see online that when you see it, you know it. It's like a unicorn. It's so unique and rare, and I crave it so much. So I know this is going to be controversial, but then I
say it.
It is controversial. It's
good.
So you know Louis C.K., right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about the guy anymore because of this whole like controversy. He had.
Yeah.
But he said something really wise many years ago, and he said that when he has no idea what to write, because he was being asked at an interview, I think, like, how do you take all of this material? How do you write all of this material? He's like, I always dig deeper. Mm-hmm. Each and every single time I sit on my chair, I always dig deeper. And that digging deeper is something that I try to apply to my work every single time I sit down. And I do something for Instagram or I film a video and I feel like there's always something to pull from your insides, your intestines, your everything, your juices, all of those things that you're like, wow, yeah. I had no idea I had that inside. But it's hard because, how can I say this? So I was asked by a newspaper to start doing comics, like one panel comics. And I was trying really hard to find myself in this like single one, like panels. And
I followed this. So I was watching you. You've been exploring it.
It's
and
so
they're really good.
Thank
I
you.
I love them.
Thank you, baby. It's hard.
It's cool to watch. And I love that you are, I think it's mostly a new artist kind of thing.
Yeah.
Letting people go on the journey. Because I've told people, like, I think of myself partially as a writer, but I also know that maybe I have some talent in that or whatever, but I'm also really bad at it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not really a writer. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But I've talked about it on the podcast and I've been nervous about even like comedy is another thing where I am very afraid to call anything. I'm often attempting to be funny, but I don't want to say that. I don't want anybody, because I'm not that good at it yet.
But we both want to be funny.
Yeah,
of course. And being funny is so hard because when you're around with friends and you're like slightly tipsy or drunk, it's like, oh my God, I'm so funny and I could do this for a living. Just like give me a mic. Yeah. But then when you're writing a joke for a one single panel, which is so freaking hard, and you're trying to be yourself and vulnerable, and I'm like, why am I trying to say?
Mm.
It's so hard, Andy.
I know.
And what am I apart from, for example, me and my heart and like strange relationship with my father, for example? Mm. He was an alcoholic and I talked about him for so long. So I'm like, should I be talking about this more than I already talked about? Or should I talk about like other things that made me uncomfortable? Or should I talk about like body hair or what it feels to be a woman nowadays? And I feel like I'm struggling because should I talk about feminism or should I talk about this other thing? And I need to be honest with myself. Am I talking about this because it's a trend or and everybody else is talking about it? Or do I genuinely want to talk about it? Is there any way I can talk about these other things?
Yeah.
So I guess answering your question, I guess vulnerability is something that I genuinely feel super, super passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make that connection with people. I want to make people feel better with themselves because I think I've been so tormented. Is that even a word?
Yeah.
Throughout my entire life about like feeling just like insecure or worried all the time about like silly things that I just want to lift a huge weight off people's shoulders. I guess that's the best answer I can give you right now.
That's so good. There was like 18 threads that I wanted to pull at and I maybe we'll get to them or something.
Like body hair?
Like a whole head of hair of threads that I could have pulled at. but there is, but I, here, I'll go to this first. One of my theories, because my big thing on creativity is about taste. That's where I think our best stuff comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's about the thing they want to do unto others as they want done to them. They want someone to go give them. Like when I did Creative Pep Talk, it's because I need pep talks. It's not because I'm good at them.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that is one of the most powerful tools for an artist is their deepest sensitivity is their wound. So nothing's more sensitive than a wound.
Yeah.
Right? And so for me, it's really easy for me to want to say no to life. It doesn't take much for me to be like when I think about having to go to the dentist on however often you're supposed to, that makes me want to say no to life. Like I'm like,
oh yeah, baby, I get
how
to.
How many?
Yeah.
Do you? It's not worth it.
Do you floss, by the way?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I do. It's amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
What made you say that? Where does that come from?
Because I started flossing, I think, like 5 years ago, and it changed my life, Andy.
Why?
I can't believe I went through for so long not doing it. Because basically brushing your teeth is like not brushing them at all.
Right.
Like
it's the not stuff doing you the get, real stuff.
Yeah. The stuff I
this
I
is
see,
just you telling me a hack. Of
it's
like how,
insane. It's like another food, like another meal from my teeth. I know this is TMI. I'm sorry, but please floss. Just like do it for How long does it take to do like a habit? 21 days? Just like do it 21 days and then you will never go back, baby. I will hold your hand. Just floss. Do it.
This episode's brought to you by flossing.
Don't you do it? No, how do you say that? Don't do it every other day. Do it every single day, baby.
Do it every day?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever met a diehard flosser.
Yeah. I never thought I was going to be that person.
Do you know Mitch Hedberg?
No.
Okay. He's passed away now, but he was a really hilarious comic. And he said...
A huge flosser.
He's not a huge flosser, but he had a joke that said he thinks starting flossing is like trying to stop smoking. It's like the same.
I've done both, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, high five.
Boom.
Oh, I used to smoke so much.
Me too.
Like a huge, like a one package a day. Yeah, me too. And God, I thought it looked so freaking cool.
How long?
For like a good chunk of time, because I started when I was seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Started when I was seven. I was like, man, chili's different than
I try. Can you
I'm
imagine?
Used to.
I try my first cigarette. I smoked my first cigarette when I was 15. I coughed my eyes out. Mm-hmm. And then I properly started when I was 18 until I was 26.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, a long time.
Yeah.
I was probably a heavy smoker for 5 or 6 years. Yeah. Like,
why do we do this to ourselves?
Oh, I know why. Because
we were anxious?
No, I just freaking love it.
Yeah.
It's one of the... I was telling you I love the ocean like I loved drugs.
Yeah.
I loved it like smoking. Like, I love the ocean as much as I like smoking. I haven't smoked since 2008.
I haven't smoked since 2011. And I feel amazing.
Yeah. And
crave it sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I am just trying to be very... Like, I don't want to be like a DARE officer. Do you know DARE officers? They're like people. DARE is like anti-drugs, right? Like, they come into your school and they tell you, right?
But, floss and.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. You need to be a DARE floss officer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go into schools and be like, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are going to believe you on that. But but you did inspire me. I'm inspired to take it more seriously, more often. I don't know if I'll be a daily flosser.
I mean, once you see what you can pull out of your teeth, you're like, wow, I was going to sleep with that thing on. That's like a canapé anyway.
But no, smoking.
Yeah.
I did it because it was amazing.
It was relaxing.
You
were holding something in your hands. So there's an activity while you were talking to someone. So, and now we're basically not holding anything.
It makes
you feel super vulnerable.
This episode is brought to you by flossing and smoking.
Yeah.
Because I'm selling it hard.
Don't do it. No, don't.
Don't do it.
Because
don't
you will always be a former smoker. You will never be a non-smoker.
No.
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 It's here for life.
100%. I still think about it. I never think about doing it. I'm not going to do it.
Mm.
But I do think about it really often. When I see somebody doing it, I'm like,
it's cold, especially when it's cold.
It just looks amazing.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's insane.
Do you know how much better it is? Like a conversation with cigarettes.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't have to
go any
further. No, don't. Don't do it. It is the worst. And quitting was horrifying. Mm-hmm. Hated it. And it was really,
it's hard.
Took me a million times. Hated it. Don't know how we got on that.
It's okay. I love it.
What were we talking about before we started talking about flossing?
The ocean.
Oh, no.
Drugs.
Drugs.
You like it like the ocean.
I do, but before you started saying, do you floss, which makes me think, did I look like I don't floss? I don't know. Okay.
No.
Well, that's good.
I don't pay attention to teeth.
Good. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's very affirming. But my thing, my teeth are
nervous?
Fine.
Do you feel nervous when people look at your mouth while you're talking? And not
I'm
make
more
any
nervous
eye contact.
By just general things that they do while I'm talking,
like
you know, if they like fix their hair or they constantly. Like do something with their nose or whatever it is, I'm thinking, what are they telling me? They're giving me secret
oh my
information,
god, it happens to me as
and
well.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
And I get very distracted until I'm like,
do I have something in my
you don't.
Head? Yeah. No, but that's what I think. Yeah.
Because now you're nervous about it. Like, wait, now you got me thinking about it.
You're clean.
All right, thank
you're
you.
You're clean.
Man, it's good to just check in sometimes. I think before you asked me if I floss, we were talking about wounds.
Yes.
I was talking about how.
Oh wow!
I believe
so happy
your
you
sensitivity
yeah.
is one of the best places to look for your taste. Mm-hmm. So, because it's like you need it satiated or you need it tended to, like, and you can speak to that because it's such a depth to your understanding of a thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me, my two are one is that yes thing because it's so easy for me to say no. But it sounds like that's totally true about you,
mm-hmm.
which is there's probably a connection, whatever the opposite of what vulnerability gets you in terms of being affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
There's an opposite of like a self-esteem thing that was an early thing.
Yeah.
By the way, if I was listening to this podcast and you said that your father was an alcoholic and you talked about it a bunch, I would want me to say, and tell us more about that. So I'm going to just go back and do that. And actually, because I haven't followed you the whole time,
okay.
I only get bits and pieces of your work. So I don't know anything about that. I've never heard that. Did mm-hmm. you've talked about it in your work before?
Yeah, just like a couple of times. And I think I overshare so much.
I'm not asking you to say anything that you don't want to say.
Oh, no, baby. I can talk this.
All right.
I have no filter with you.
I'm like, and everybody knows I talk very explicit about my mom.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we both have very, at least on my end, very dysfunctional parents.
Yep.
So,
my dad is not, but my.
Oh, thank God.
And they said
my mom is not.
But yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
I was just like thinking, how do I start? So I grew up in a very, the word my therapist used was when you can't predict, like a very unpredictable
yeah.
household in mm-hmm. the sense that my dad was basically drunk all the time and I was really afraid of him because I knew from early age that being drunk is someone that is not in the fully sense of like mental capacity or like
they're in
physical.
Animal mode,
yeah,
really,
they're
almost,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to be alone with this man. But the thing is that I was alone a lot because my mom used to travel a lot and whatnot. So
what did she
My mom used to be a nurse, but she just retired and she actually was doing like lots of work for TV shows, just like making sure that people, this is like super random, but my mom used to work at like a prevention for burning accidents specifically targeted to kids. So if they were using or like playing with one of these like fireworks, she did like a whole national campaign in order to stop people from playing with firecrackers or stuff like that. So it was horrible because for 1 year in that very small city where I used to, where I grew up, we had no fire, but like
no
any,
fireworks
no fireworks whatsoever
mom.
Because my mom prohibited the
that
whole thing.
Amazing.
So everybody was
Did
so
everyone,
upset.
Like hate
no,
you
thank
for it.
God, no one
oh.
knew.
Oh. Oh, they didn't know?
No, that. No, thank God.
Imagine if they
I mean,
did.
I love you, mom, but that, yeah. Yeah.
That would be amazing if, like, next year round, everyone's used to, like, on this occasion, everyone's going crazy. Yeah. Fireworks is so fun. All the kids are loving it. And then it's because Fran.
It was because of my
mom. Ruined it.
Yeah, Rosario. Yeah. No, just, like, stop. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
So my
She's,
mom,
like, a risk assessment type person. Like, like very sensitive to risk. Like, she's, like, that's what it sounded like you were saying.
Yeah, so my mom was basically doing like interviews everywhere in order to stop this from happening because she was actually healing the people, like wounds of kids because of this accident. Anyway, so I was alone with my dad a lot and my dad was like super violent, Andy. Like he grew up in he had a very horrible upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think his only way of like showing love and support was with violence.
Man.
And that was just like, I was insane. And
like
that was
connection. Is that what it is? Like some kind of like,
yeah. Like I'm going to show you I love you by hitting, like punch you in the face and stuff like that.
My Lord.
So, my mom was actually the only safe thing I had back then. And
man,
everybody...
I did not know that. And that, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, it's just, okay.
I didn't know that. And anyway, I'll keep going. I want to say something else about it, but yeah.
Yeah. He was like super abusive physically. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like always asking me like, oh, I bet you're an artist because your dad, even though he's an architect, mm-hmm. he painted a lot with watercolors and stuff. So everybody was like, oh, I bet you're an artist because your dad. And I'm like, no, I'm an artist because my mom used to... we weren't poor in the sense that we weren't living in the street. We had a roof, thank God, over our
heads.
Yeah. Thank you. but we basically had like no money for medicine or like clothes or anything. We had no luxuries whatsoever. But the little money my mom had, she used to like buy paper and like art supplies for us. So I grew up making my own toys, like paper toy dolls and my own like collectible cards. And I had my own drawing club with credentials and like IDs. It was like super DIY.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think growing up with my dad was super, super hard because even until right now and in this right second, I still can't forgive him, mm-hmm. I guess is the word, because he was such an asshole to mm-hmm. us. And I guess that was something like really nice when I went to therapy, that my therapist told me that is something like fascinating about life, that not because he had this upbringing difficult and whatnot, and he didn't know any better, what you're feeling right now is not true. They can both of these worlds in
right.
which
yeah.
you felt what you felt.
You were a victim and he was a victim.
But
it's not, doesn't excuse
yeah,
it or change
you're
it.
Trying yep. not to be dismissive on yourself. Yep. So I'm trying not to be dismissive. I'm really good at being dismissive at myself. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, this is not the proper time to cry. This is not the proper moment to do this and that. Maybe later and blah, blah. Mm. So I guess it's super hard to come to terms of like, or make peace with the idea that my dad is never going to apologize. And I don't know if I will ever be able to talk to him about all of this. Mm. So, on the other hand, I guess I am the person who I am because of this. I am not saying like, oh, I'm so grateful I went through that, because I am not.
No.
But I guess I have more sensitivity towards other things. I don't know. I guess it's the same with you.
Yeah.
Like, since we have this very particular ways in which we grew up and we dealt with very dysfunctional parents, that we have a different approach to life or like how we work on things.
Yeah. That wound is a thing that I think about it is it is, they are redeemable things, but they're not excusable, you know?
Like, yeah.
And I think there's, again, a bunch of things that I wanted to say that I want to think about with that. First thing is, I'm sure you have thought about how ironic it was that your mom was out there trying to protect kids.
Yeah.
You've thought about that before?
No.
Oh, it's just very striking.
Ironic.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, how can that be so? I'm sure that I'm not your therapist.
No, but she was also like a victim of.
True, right.
Because he was, even though he was never physical violent towards her, he was like super verbally mm-hmm. abusive. And I remember he hated when she hugged us because he said that she was spoiling us.
Oh my God.
It's insane, Andy.
Oh my God.
Sometimes I'm like, I can't believe they decided to have kids. Like, mm-hmm. my mom, yes, but my dad was like, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
You know? Have you ever, like, made amends?
I think so. I will speak to that really quick, but then I have the thread that I was going to run with. But I think it's funny because, you know, there's so many layers to that. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like, for instance, like, there were times in my teenage years where I told her I forgave her. But then, you know, by the time I had kids, when I had kids,
you can understand someone.
Well, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
When we first had my oldest, and we were right out of college, and we were not prepared, and I had a job in which I had to get a bus and two trains, commute 2 hours to get to this job, and work all day and come home, and she was like a colicky baby screaming through the night, so mm-hmm. I had no sleep, and it's just one of the shittiest moments of my life, like mm-hmm. really hard, so freaking hard, and not one time did my brain ever wonder to, maybe I could get on that train and not come back.
Yeah.
Never in a million years. I would literally, and this is not a figure of speech. I've thought about it. I've been in situations where my imagination runs wild, and I thought I would easily sacrifice my life for my kids. And I don't think that's special.
Yeah.
I think that's a normal thing. And so if you don't have that, you probably shouldn't have kids.
You're literally on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things you don't always know if you're going to be a good parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before you make that decision.
But I think it's super logical for you to reevaluate how you felt about your mom once being a parent,
sure.
because my brother felt like went through exactly the same situation. And I asked him, actually, are you over this? Can you forgive our dad for this? And he's like, I don't think I will ever be able to, because now I'm a parent and I will never do that to my daughter. But I think you learn how to live with this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I will ever be over this, no matter how much therapy I go through.
Oh, no. I think I'm over taking it personal from her. Mm. Like, I don't think she had... I think that I understand, like you've said about your dad... I understand why she is the way that she is and why she became the person that made those choices.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. So it's not personal. But what she did to me as a kid in terms of how it changed me will never disappear. For me, I think one of the things that I do because of that wound is I am very nurturing because I wasn't nurtured. Right. So I'm going out there and giving what I wish that I had. And do you feel that's the same?
I feel exactly the same. Yeah.
I could see it in your face. Yeah. So you feel that way, even that's what you, that's why you're making art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like if people, can you imagine if everybody was talking, like talk more openly about these kind of things with everybody. I mean, I'm not saying like just like start word vomiting to the person who's sitting down next to you on the bus, but we'll be so much better. We'll be so much better. And I wish I grew up with just like people being more open about not only dysfunctional parenting, but also just like, and I think this is why I'm so grateful right now that they're so variety in the sense of like even like underwear modeling and how advertising is changing and how you see so much variety right now. I wish I had that when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same with what we do right now, Andy, with illustration. Like I wish people were more open when I was younger, and I'm so grateful that now people are sharing this with others.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started listening to your podcast, I'm like, and I reached that episode when you started talking about your mom, I'm like, thank the Lord.
That's
because
amazing.
That is where it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And every time someone approaches me, and I'm sure it happens to you the same, it's like, it's always with that content. It's always with, I am so happy you talked about this because I was suffering from the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you talked about this, or like the way how you talk about this and this. And with this, I'm not saying like every single artist should talk about, I don't know, dysfunctional parenting or like whatever.
Yeah.
I think each and every single one of us has a different way of approaching life and experiencing life. But if you can share it, it's insane. Like the connection you get with people, it's insane. So, and it's always with the same... content. So I'm so happy we did it.
Yeah.
Even despite the fact that we're we picked such non-traditional ways to approach illustration when we started.
Yeah. And but that's an interesting thing about that question of what it costs you. And that's what you're saying. I'm so grateful when an artist does that. And part of my feeling is I am so grateful because it does cost them something. It's costing them something by sharing all that. It's costing anonymity and all kinds of things, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any other things you want to talk about that you, even if you just want to, I mean, obviously I'm going to promote your shop.
Thank you.
Yes.
So,
is that what you were going to say?
Sort of, but when you have to align yourself to what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so happy that we're going to talk about my shop, but not because I want people to buy stuff from my shop, but mm-hmm. because that was actually like a huge decision for me. So I have been trying to do some research about like ethical stuff and like where things come from.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's always someone who is going to pay the price, even though if you're not paying it, someone is paying it.
Yeah.
And I think that was something like super tough, Andy, because I had to compromise so much of what I was doing already in the sense of like, for example, not buying, for example, recycled envelopes or non-compostable plastic bags and stuff like that. And I don't know if you remember about that starving polar bear picture that was around. It shocked me so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I was crying, but I was sad for a long time. And I was so angry. I guess nowadays, everybody's super angry at ourselves about how the climate change is doing to...
Not everybody,
but...
But yeah.
A lot of people.
You live in... Well, you've never been to the countryside in Ohio, so you don't know.
Oh, okay.
But there you go.
But,
I hate to... That's a depressing thing to say, but it's true. So.
Anyway. Oh, man.
Anyway. Yeah.
It was something that... You know when... When you're about to make or like make a decision that, you know, it's going to change everything and you're so scared because it's not going to define you, but people are going to put you under that standard forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always wanted to do t-shirts, for example.
Yeah.
Always. But I felt super weird out about how fast fashion and fashion affects the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a fashionable human being. I've always feel super clumsy around clothes. I don't know why. I always admire people who have that sense of style and they could pull out insane outfits and stuff like that. But I have, and I'm sure a lot of people have that weird feeling about fast fashion in the sense that it's so convenient for so long. The only thing I could buy was... like cheap clothes,
mm-hmm.
Not so good quality, but like cheap clothes. I've been that person my entire life. But now I feel like I had to step back because I know how fashion and other industries as well are damaging the environment.
Yep.
So I decided to start buying secondhand t-shirts and screen print them. And it's been a crazy journey because you never know how people are going to react with those ideas. And I know nowadays lots of people are thrifting stuff and like shopping secondhand, but you never know. Like, do you feel like sometimes the way you phrase things are so delicate in the sense that if you use a very slight word that it's not working properly, people are going to misunderstand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And since I'm not a huge communicator verbally, I don't feel so eloquent enough. Like you, for example, I feel like I admire you so much, Andy, because the way how, like the metaphors you use and like the way how you phrase stuff is like, oh my God, I've never thought about that before. Like, and you know so much about the industry.
That's funny, but yeah,
so
thanks.
So I'm nice, like, but... I wish I had that skill.
I think the way I talk is really, anyway, just... stupid.
Anyway, I wish I had your skill.
Thanks.
So when I was presenting or like sharing this idea with people, I was really nervous about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that so many people were asking me, like, we saw that you were so shocked about this thing with the polar bear, because I remember making a comment or like a remark about it on social media. What are you doing about it?
Yeah.
And I think it's so important that we take a stance sometimes on things, even mm-hmm. though it's not the popular thing to do, or you're the only person saying it.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a brave person. I always take the route that makes me feel comfortable, mm-hmm. and I am really bad at trying new things. Mm-hmm. So now I think I am committing more to try the special meal on the menu because I've never tried it before, or like the weird pineapple-y thing that you see every once yeah. in a while. You're like, that's super weird. Okay, I'm gonna try it out. I'm trying to be brave. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's yeah. hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be brave. No. I just want to be comfy.
Yeah.
All the time. But that's something that I've been trying on, and trying to align what I do with my, I don't know if the word is values, but what I believe in. And yeah. It's hard.
And what you care about.
Yeah. I want someone to hold my hand, and I feel like I'm doing this on my own,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like you have to start somewhere, and sometimes, like most of the times, you have to do it on by yourself.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I want to get back to that with your shop, but I think that's a thing about being an artist and being like we talked about, which everyone's heard me say a million times about the idea of you don't start like okay. I've said this before. Someone told me that this was a spoiler. It's not a spoiler.
What?
It's about, did you see Enter the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Amazing. I mean, who hasn't, right?
It's so good.
I know.
If you think, if you're really afraid, you've been holding off on watching this movie a year and a half later,
just
whatever.
Just do it. It's on Netflix, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Get on with it. Shut off the podcast. But guess what? This is just the theme of the movie. Mm-hmm. Doesn't give anything away. It's just a theme. Whoever you were on Instagram,
it's probably on
being
the title,
a
right?
nasty person to me.
Nasty.
I don't get many of those, but he was being a jerk and swearing at me. Anyway, for spoiling it. I was like, anyway, but the point of the movie is, the theme is, you can't keep waiting for Spider-Man to show up and save you. You are Spider-Man. You're the Spider-Man of your story,
I mean,
right?
Dude, that was in the... It's in the 15 trailer. Minutes. Yeah. Oh, cut it out.
God,
okay.
You freaking
yeah, bitch. I know.
But but that idea that exactly what you're describing of when you are stepping out into your journey and what's yours to do, you are alone.
You have to be your own Spider-Man.
Yes, you have to do it by yourself. No one else. And it's that thing of like only Frodo can carry the ring. He's the only one.
Yeah.
And that's his burden to do so, but it doesn't make it easier. You when you do that, you do feel extremely vulnerable. There's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so just relate that back, because I understand what you're saying about how that relates to your shop, but just explain how that impacted everything that you've done with the new shop.
So instead of buying new t-shirts or like screen print them, I don't know if the word is massively anymore, because I know you can do it on demand nowadays, sure. and there are so many websites that allow you to do it. I am basically giving secondhand t-shirts a second chance.
Yeah.
It takes like 40 years to decompose a t-shirt.
Mm.
And
that's awesome.
Like,
I love it.
I've read like horrible numbers that each American I love that accent.
So funny. Don't talk about my people like that, Fran.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
Just kidding.
80 tons of clothes to the garbage every single year.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's insane. Like the average American. So that's a lot to consider. We're both probably not in that number of people, mm-hmm. but anyway, the thing is that I was so shocked by the numbers, and I think everybody is looking at the numbers and just like, even like feeling the weather right now. You're like, everything is changing. I know I'm not saving the world, Andy.
No.
I'm not. like my contribution is the smallest thing ever. I'm probably recycling every month 150 t-shirts, which is still a lot, but it's not fixing the situation in any way.
But it's a everybody, small contribution. It's all about everybody doing the part. That's literally the only thing that you're responsible for. And you're probably doing more than your part by taking some of these risks. So that's good.
So that's exactly what I'm doing. Basically, all of the stationery that I'm doing is 100% recycled. They're printed locally. So I know exactly how it's being printed, by whom, and everybody in the chain of process is being paid fairly. My bags are compostable, so you can actually take the plastic bag and put it on your compost. So that's what I'm trying to do now. Plus, I realized that there weren't that many ethical brands that had cute t-shirts or like weird t-shirts. So I'm like, I might as well just like start this right away. That's what I'm doing right now.
That's
and it
amazing.
Feels amazing, but it also feels overwhelming and vulnerable, because I know right now it's so cool that people are listening to your podcast and watching my videos or like following us, because in some way I think we can share our lifestyle and people can say like, oh, you know what, that's actually super cool. I'm going to try to be more conscious of like how I consume or like paying more attention where stuff comes from. And if we're doing that already, I am super happy.
Yeah, that's amazing. The other thing it makes me think of is...
and flossing, sorry. Do not smoke.
It's amazing, but don't do it. See, I think
says
that would be more...
coughing.
I think, yeah, I know. That would be amazing. A better sell to me, I feel like, as a kid of not smoking was one of the, and they do this all the time with drugs, like drugs are bad and they're terrible. And then I would take drugs and be like, these are the best.
These are the best.
What are you lying for?
Yeah.
So it wasn't honest, but I'm being honest. Smoking's amazing and don't do it. It's the worst. But the thing I find really interesting about that as you're saying all that stuff. So one of the, like I've told you, doesn't take much to tip me over to the scale to be, say no to life. Like it's easy for me, and it's because I'm sensitive. It could be because I'm broken from my childhood. There's a bunch of reasons why, right? And you talking about the polar bear and all this stuff, and it's making me think even that is brave and also a product of, it's brave to allow yourself to be, aware of the truth of the problems. Both it's brave to do that, and it's also a I'm guessing a product of you know, the classic metaphor of the put your own oxygen mask on first kind of thing. It's probably also a product of you feeling like, at least on some level, that you can allow some of the world's problems into your world because you are in a good place. I can't handle very much news. I can't handle, and I'm not saying, I'm not someone who just completely ignores it. And I'm not just pretending like everything's okay all the time. I want to get, you know, I'm planning on going to therapy. I want to get stronger so that I can live more within the truth of reality and contribute more in those ways. And so to me, that's what I was hearing as you're saying all that. It's like, you know, you've done a bunch of self-work and you're probably in a pretty good place compared to all the rest of the times in your life. And that's probably a big part of why you feel you've mustered enough bravery in this moment because of all that to take it on. Is that, do you think that's true?
Yeah, it's super accurate. Yeah.
And it's really inspiring. It's awesome. It's great encouragement for everybody to, work, do the self work and the inner work and all that stuff. So good job.
Yeah.
I thought of what's the most ridiculous way to end that sentence?
Floss.
Yeah, and flossing. Yeah. And, I mean, that's probably most of it. Your teeth health is so off the charts that you're ready to take on
it's part of self-care
change.
Baby
that's
yeah yeah I'm gonna take care of myself and my teeth.
But it is.
That, no joke, yeah. Andy. I mean, I know we already talked about
I claws, love this. Your face, but the when last you said time... no joke, you were like, I wish you weren't joking so much about it because I don't want to send the wrong message because I am deeply serious about this.
Okay. I went to a dentist a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I should have... When was the last time I went to a dentist? Anyway.
I'm terrible.
I went to a dentist.
I am really bad
we're,
at that.
We're both in the anyway, same boat. Yeah. Teeth neglect them. Anyway, mm-hmm. So I went to a dentist probably 2 years into flossing, and the dentist was like, oh my God, you have nothing. I mean, there's no cavities. I don't actually have to clean your teeth. And I'm like, it's flossing, baby. And he's like, this is insane. Because dentists tell us all the time to floss, and they never, like, no one does. So he couldn't believe someone actually listened. So I'm like, okay, thank you, bye. And that was it. Oh, so, my gosh. Yeah. Just do it. Just floss.
Have you ever made, dude, I love the soapbox that you have about flossing. We've gone back to flossing like 3 or 4 times.
I had no idea I was the person.
Amazing. have you done any art on it?
No.
You need to. You know what I think about? I always talk to people like, whatever your art is, that's like your superpower in mm-hmm. terms of, like, I had a guy, I've told this story before, but just so you know, I had a person I was working with, like I was coaching him, and he, I was trying to get to his like truth. Like, what are things that he wants to, like I was saying, look, illustration, the idea of it is that it's more powerful than just plain words. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do a bunch of things. You can connect on a deeper level. You can get people's attention. There's all kinds you know, and then we couldn't get it. And then right before we hung up the phone, he's like, and we got somewhere. It wasn't a waste, but when we got to the end of the conversation, he was like, before you go, I got to tell you about this. I've got to tell you about this certain type of meditation.
Oh, okay.
Because it's changed my life, and I'm just I'm an evangelist for it, and I stop every person I talk to, and I sit them down, and I tell them about this, just like you are with flossing with me.
Okay.
And I'm like, why don't you tell that story with illustration that you're so, he was so passionate.
Yeah.
And he was, and I know every person in his life is probably like, please quit telling me that. I don't want to, but the way it's made you feel, you could illuminate that with your work mm-hmm. better than you could with these plain words.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's a really stupid example for why I'm telling you should do a flossing comic.
But it's so nice that something resonated with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love that. And that's what, I mean, but that's, yeah, that thing that means so much to you. Like that is, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should. Have you done a public service announcement on your YouTube?
No, I should though. See? Because apparently I just found out I'm a very huge activist.
You are?
Yeah. I had no idea.
I've never seen anybody more serious about flossing. Not even my dentist cares about flossing like you
should,
do.
Baby.
All right.
It changes your life.
Okay.
Again,
last time you were telling me about journaling.
Yeah, journaling is amazing. That was I'm still a huge activist of journaling.
You know I don't have? I feel like I'm at the journal dentist who's saying, and have you been journaling?
Have you been journaling?
No.
Andy, I can see you haven't. Your face is telling me everything.
I haven't because, and here's my problem, is I don't have any time. So one of the things, and I know, Debbie Millman says, busy is a choice. It is my choice.
You have to make the time.
It's my choice to be this busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just too busy. I'm just like, I'm choosing to do too many things.
But the thing is, like,
to do all these things.
The cool thing about journaling is that you become really self-aware of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think you're already doing that with the podcast.
That's true.
So it's fine.
That is true. And I do that. But I do want to write more. I want to consume more. I want to read more. I want to do, there's a bunch of things that I think I'm out of balance because of how much stuff that I want to make mm-hmm. and do. But anyway, I think we'll leave it there.
Okay. Thank you. Can I say goodbye?
Yes, please.
Bye,
do.
Andy. This is insane because we're going to keep talking, but let's pretend we're saying goodbye.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming to my studio.
Absolutely.
Again, guys, sorry about the mess and the noise, but my plants are really happy. That everybody's here.
Oh yeah.
So thank you so much for coming.
Are you good with your plants?
Yeah, I'm good with my plants. I discovered recently the what is the word? Fertilizing?
Fertilizer.
Fertilizer. Yeah. And it's amazing. I can't believe it took me
for
so long.
For houseplants?
Yes. You water your plants once a month, and it's insane. Like, your podcast is a fertilizer,
nice,
basically.
Nice.
So people are okay without it, but with you, Andy, it's like, yes.
you just called me fertilizer, yeah, which also is kind of an insult. But
is it an insult, though?
Oh, no. But did...
because you're...
the fertilizer is shit.
It's basically shit.
Yeah.
So...
But I didn't know that you did that way. But I, but I didn't know that you did that. I didn't know to do that with...
It's basically
nutrients.
Uh-huh. It comes in a liquid form.
Okay.
And it's blue.
Okay.
You're not blue, but...
I'm going to tell my wife. She loves her plants, and she does a good job. But we do lose one from...
Every once in a while.
Yeah, which I'm sure
like
is
we
normal,
all do.
But...
Yeah.
But...
Part of life.
Concern.
The circle of life.
Man, I'm so glad that we had Fran back on the show. Fran, thanks for spending all that time with me chatting. It was so fantastic. You are like my Chilean sister in the Pep arena. I'm just so glad we got to hang out again and chat and catch up. Go check out her new web shop at wearenicehumans.com. Really great t-shirts on there. She has a planner on there that is freaking fantastic. I gotta take one home, and was just delighted by all the little prompts and stuff in there, and also a bunch of really fantastic stickers. Go check it out. Tons of great stuff. wearenicehumans.com. Thanks again, Fran. Speak soon, friend. And also, you can check her out on YouTube and Instagram. Just search Fran Nerd, FRANNERD. You'll find her in those places. Thank you for listening to the show. Thanks. We're going to have I got some good stuff planned in the works in the next couple weeks. Some very exciting things. So stay tuned. Thanks to Yoni Wolf and the band Y for our theme music. Thanks to Alex Sugg for our soundtrack. Thanks to Chris Graham of Chris Graham Mastering and the Six Figure Home Studio podcast for audio assistance. Thanks to you for listening. And until we speak again, you know what to do. Stay pepped up. Stay pepped up. Dip, dip, dip. Dip, 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 dip. Stay pepped up. That's the new theme song for the end of the podcast. I'm going to sing that every week. Just kidding. Just stay pepped up.